Thank you for joining us for our broadcast today. My name is Ben Bailey.
How do you view Jesus? What are your thoughts on the nature of Jesus and what He was like? Many people think of Jesus sometimes as being hard-nosed or straight-laced, as being real rough around the edges. Friends, as the book of Matthew opens in Matthew chapters 8 through 11, we're going to be introduced to the King as one who is very, very compassionate. The heart of Jesus was tender and loving. Jesus was a very compassionate and kind individual. And Matthew chapter 8 through 11 is going to show us exactly how kind and compassionate Jesus is as King. A King who loves us so much that He wants us to go to heaven and live with Him for all eternity. Matthew chapter 8 is going to introduce to us Jesus, the compassionate King, as the Master Healer. Here's Jesus, and what makes Jesus so compassionate? Jesus here cleanses a man from a dreadful disease that had never been cleansed before this way. A leper comes to Jesus. Jesus is just coming down off the mountain, no doubt tired, just preached a great sermon, and yet Jesus comes down off the mountain and a leper comes to Him. You think about leprosy, and it was a horrible disease. The skin would rot off the bones. There would be the stench. These people were cast as outsiders from the tent. They weren't allowed to be with the people and have that closeness. And so here's a leper. His only hope is to get to Jesus. And he comes to Jesus and he says, "Lord, if You're willing, You can cleanse me." I want you to notice what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 8, verse 3. Here's the compassion of Christ. Then Jesus put out His hand, and notice this, and touched him, touched a leper, saying, "I am willing, be cleansed." And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. Jesus is seen as being a compassionate Master Healer because this man came to Him. No doubt he was tired. He's got some dreaded disease that could easily be caught. And yet Jesus takes time to touch him, to heal him, and to cleanse him of this great disease. That took a lot of love from the heart of Jesus to do that. And friends, there's such a practical lesson that can be drawn for us out of Matthew chapter 8, verses 1 through 4. Jesus healed this man of a great physical disease, a horrible disease. Yet Jesus is seen as the Master Teacher for us in that He heals us of something far greater than leprosy. In view of sin, leprosy is not that bad at all compared to the results of what sin and the eternal destruction it can bring. And yet Jesus came to this earth not to heal lepers. He did that. That's not the reason He came. Jesus came to seek and save that which is lost. Luke 19:10. Jesus came to heal us of something far greater than leprosy. You see, friends, sin is the great disease that we are faced with today. The Bible teaches that sin is far more destructive and deadly than leprosy could ever be. Proverbs 13, verse 15 says, "The way of the transgressor is hard." Living a life of sin is the hardest life you could ever live. It's a deadly disease. Think about Romans 6:23. "The wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life." We're not talking about a physical death. The wages of sin is so deadly and destructive because of the eternal results. What happens if a person catches leprosy and dies? Well, they lose their physical body. They pass from this life. But if they were faithful to the Lord, they could still go to heaven. What happens if a person is infected with the disease of sin, doesn't make it right, and passes from this life? Jesus said in Mark 9, verse 44, that the final result would be going to a place called hell, where the worm, the maggot, never dies, and the fire is not quenched. It's described as being a place of eternal gnashing and of teeth and wailing. It's described as a lake of eternal torment and fire. What makes sin so much more deadly than leprosy is that you may die, your physical body may die here in this life from leprosy, but it's your spirit that suffers forever because of the results of sin. And friends, sin, unlike leprosy, is incurable at all. Oh, there have been great strides in the medical field in helping people with leprosy. It's almost unheard of today. But man has found no cure for sin. Jesus is the only cure still for sin. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says that God made Christ, who knew no sin, to be sin on our behalf, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. John puts it this way, 1 John 2, verses 1 and 2, He Himself is the propitiation for our sins, but not for ours alone, but for the sins of the whole world. Jesus is the only cure, the only antidote to the sin problem that exists today. This is why the Hebrew writer said in Hebrews 10, verses 3 and 4, after having thought about how the blood of bulls and goats could never take away sin, he says this valiantly in verse 12. Hebrews 10, verse 12, Jesus, this man, after he'd offered one sacrifice for sin forever, sat down at the right hand of God. And so, yes, Jesus is the only cure, and we see the passion and love of Jesus in our lives because He's willing to heal us of our greatest disease, sin. As we think about Matthew chapter 8, we also see the compassion, the humility, and love of Jesus in His healing a centurion servant. Matthew chapter 8, verses 8 through 12, there is a centurion, a military leader, who comes to Jesus and he says, Lord, I've got a servant. He's at home. He's paralyzed. He is dreadfully tormented. And Jesus says, I'll come and heal him. He says, oh, no, don't come. I'm a man over many people. You just say the word and it'll be done. And Jesus responded by commending this man's faith. I've not found such great faith, he says. Here's a man who possessed two key qualities. He was very humble, and he was very one who had a great deal of faith. He possessed the humility to come to Jesus and say, Lord, I know You can heal him. Here's my servant. I want You to help me if You're able. He had the humble mindset that we ought to have today. You see, Luke 14:11 says, everyone who exalts himself, that person one day will be humbled. But the person who humbles himself, that's the man who will be exalted. 1 Peter 5 and verse 6 says that we are to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God that we may be exalted in due time. James 4 verse 10, carrying the same idea. And so he possessed the humility, a man, a great leader, humbling self and coming to Jesus. But he also possessed great faith. No need for you to come. I know You're the Son of God. I know You're the Master Healer. You just speak it and it'll be done. Friends, that's the attitude that we need to have. That's the faith that Christians ought to possess today. We don't need to see a sign or a miracle. We know the power of God. We know that Jesus is God's Son, and we trust that whatever God says, that'll be. You see, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Romans chapter 10, verse 7. And we need to have the faith to take God at His Word and do what He says and follow where His Son leads us. Proverbs 3 and verse 5 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. Acknowledge Him in all your ways, and He will direct your paths. But in Matthew chapter 8, verses 14 and 15, we learn a very important principle about these people who are healed. You've got a leper who's healed. You have a centurion who's healed. Now in Matthew chapter 8, verses 14 through 15, we're going to see that Peter's mother-in-law is here sick. And Jesus comes over and He heals her. But I want you especially to notice Matthew chapter 8 and verse 15. To those who have been healed and especially healed of sin, look at what happens in Matthew chapter 8 and verse 15. The Bible says, so He touched her hand and the fever left her. And notice this, and she arose and served them. Friends, to those who have been healed and especially healed of sin, we need to know that we are healed to serve. You've not been healed to fill a pew. You've not been healed so that you can go out and make a lot of money or live the life you want to live. To those who have been healed of sin, we have been healed to serve God. That's what life is all about. Now that I'm set free from sin, I can live a life that has real meaning, a life of service to God. You see, Jesus, the great servant, teaches us an example of how we also need to be servants. Mark 10, verse 45, of Jesus it is said, the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give His life a ransom for many. Today, we need to be seen as servants, workers in the kingdom of God. Remember 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58, we're told to be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. We need to be faithful unto death, faithful in service unto death, so that we can receive the crown of life. Paul would put it this way in Galatians 2, verse 20. I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Listen now. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. Paul no longer saw himself as the one he was trying to please. He was trying to please Jesus. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 6, verses 19 and 20, that since we have been bought at a price, that we are to glorify, to serve God, do everything we can in our body and spirit to lift up and magnify the name of God. My life as a born-again Christian, as one who has obeyed the gospel, is to serve God and live faithful to Him every day. Now, in Matthew chapter 9, we're going to be introduced again to the love and compassion of Jesus. Here we see that Jesus is one who has the power to forgive sins. Again, we see a man here who is sick and in sin, and as a result comes to Jesus. Jesus is able to heal this man of his sin. And as a result, we learn that Jesus has power to forgive sins on this earth. Jesus, while He was here, had the power to forgive this sin. And friends, we need to know today that He has the power to forgive our sins. What makes Jesus so compassionate and loving? It's because He is willing and able. He made the sacrifice and He makes the way possible so that we can be forgiven of our sins. Listen to what Jesus said in Matthew 26 and verse 28. Jesus is instituting the Lord's Supper. And He says, "Of the fruit of the vine, this is my blood of the new covenant, which was shed for many for the remission of sins." Think of the words of Hebrews 9, verse 22. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. Jesus' blood represents the sacrifice and gives us forgiveness. And friends, without it, there would be absolutely no hope. And so Jesus is the only one who has the power to forgive sins. 1 Peter 2, in verse 24, Peter said so clearly of the sacrifice of Christ. He Himself bore our sins in His own body upon the tree, that we, having died to sin, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes we are healed. We think about the sacrifice of Jesus, we need to know that He is the only one who could save us. Little wonder, then, is it that is said in Acts chapter 4, verse 12, "Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." He's the only way, and He's got the power and is willing to forgive our sins and heal us today. Another interesting text is found in Matthew chapter 9, verses 27 through 31. In this context of Matthew chapter 9, verses 27 through 31, there are two blind men who come to Jesus to be healed. And in the context, they request of Jesus that He touch their eyes and that they be healed. And in this context, Jesus does exactly that. He touches these men's eyes and immediately they receive their sight. Can you imagine what it would be like to be blind all your life? Man, you'd be looking for a cure. What a horrible thing that would be. Imagine never seeing the sunrise. Imagine never seeing a flower. Imagine what it's like never to see a cloud in the sky. Imagine living your whole life like that. What dread that would be. And yet here are two blind men. They come to Jesus, and out of love and compassion, no doubt for the greater good, so people could see He's the Son of God, obey His Word, and go to heaven. But Jesus heals these men of their blindness. Here's a real practical lesson for us today as well. Jesus can open our eyes spiritually. Maybe you've never obeyed the gospel. We want you to know that it's something that you can do today. If you're willing to hear God's Word, believe that Jesus is the Son of God, believe so much so that you're willing to repent, to turn from sin and turn to God, confess Him as the Son of God, you can then be baptized in water for the forgiveness of your sins. Where is it that our sins are washed away at? In the waters of baptism. Acts 22, verse 16. After Paul had said, "Lord, what will you have me to do?" He was told in Acts 22, 16, "Why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord." And so to you today, if you are not a child of God, we say, why are you waiting? The Christian life is the best life. Take advantage of Jesus, the compassionate King.